So, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is the Turning Towards Life conversation podcast project. And we are today entering. I feel like I want to wear a celebratory hat, Lizzie, and I couldn't find one. We are entering the beginning of our fourth century, not in years, but in episodes, as we enter into our 300th conversation, Lizzie, in this series. And I've been ridiculously excited about this all day, and I've been telling everybody about it because I am. I'm very joyful. I was remembering, Lizzie, beginning with you doing the first one where we very tentatively hedged around and we didn't know what this would be. And here we are. We've kept going without major interruption for 300 now. So I'm very grateful to you, and I'm very grateful to us, and I'm very grateful to Third Space, who have made this possible, and to everyone who is with us. And I want to say welcome to you all, whether you are long-time travellers or new friends. And I hope that you, as we, I'm sure we will do, find this week's conversation based around a source that you have written specially for the occasion, Lizzie. We'll find it as rich and meaningful and deep and joyful as we are going to. And I'm going to make a very special request before we even begin to all of you who are with us. We would love to share this ever more widely. So please tell your friends and your colleagues and your family and your loved ones and anyone who you think might benefit from being part of this conversation. They are so welcome to join us.
Thank you for your celebratoriness, Justin. I also feel very amazed and somehow disbelieving as well that we could do something 300 times and be still going strong. It's so cool. And yeah, so as often happens, Justin, on Friday, you texted me and said, "Are you doing the source this week?" in a very kind way. And I had a kind of a busy day on Friday and I sat down and thought, hold on a second. I mean, I've got some things like we usually do, Justin, in my little stockpile of things that have come up in the last few weeks. But I had a conversation with our lovely friend Nina, who's also in Third Space, about someone saying to her that she w is like a walking permission slip. And it got me thinking about what that means. And then I thought, oh, why don't I write about this while I'm sitting here on the sofa? Because I feel it so strongly presently in my life at the moment that there are so many ways that I get given permission to be me, and then so many ways that I don't. And all of that translates into, well, what am I being for other people? Like somehow that's where my orientation always goes as well. If this is how I feel in the presence of people, where I feel there's a limitation to the permissions in some way, then what am I being to people and what can I do about that? And I know I probably can't do much about the other person in terms of how they are much of a permission to me, but I could do something about how I can be a permission to others. So this is where this comes from. So this is called the walking permission slip. And in a way, it's in honor of our friend Nina. So here we go. Who, by the way, I think is a walking permission slip for all kinds of things that ordinary humans aren't a permission slip for. So here we go. As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. Around me, you can break. Around me, you must behave. Around me, you must be ashamed. Around me, you can be yourself. Around me, you can be honest, truly messily honest. As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. I want to know if you're suffering. I want to know only your good bits. I want to know if you're sad. I want to know of your successes, but not your failures. I want to know the ways you love me. As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. What are my implicit permissions? What do I imply by the way I speak, act, the language I use? How do my responses either welcome more or tell others to cut off or edit themselves? What do I make it okay for you to be by me being me with you? As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. This set of permissions can thankfully change. We can give up the set we got given for another that allows people around us to be fully themselves if we like. It really is possible. We can ask ourselves what shows up around us, what doesn't, what others feel safe to reveal to us, what they feel they have to hide. And we can make some decisions about what we actually want the answer to be. And then the work begins of becoming that which we intend rather than that which we unwittingly, habitually invite by walking the world the way we walk it.
Thank you, Lizzie. I'm going to read it too. Before I read it, I'm also going to name all of the people who've just joined the latest Third Space professional coaching course, which we're right in the beginning of, who are deeply engaged in exactly the question that you're asking. As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. Around me, you can break. Around me, you must behave. Around me, you must be ashamed. Around me, you can be yourself. Around me, you can be honest, truly, messily honest. As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. I want to know if you're suffering. I want to know only your good bits. I want to know if you're sad. I want to know of your successes, but not your failures. I want to know the ways you love me. As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. What are my implicit permissions? What do I imply by the way I speak, act, the language I use? How do my responses either welcome more or tell others to cut off or edit themselves? What do I make it okay for you to be by me being me with you? As I walk the world, I walk as a set of permissions. This set of permissions can, thankfully, change. We can give up the set we got given for another set that allows people around us to be fully themselves if we like. It really is possible. We can ask ourselves what shows up around us and what doesn't, what others feel safe to reveal to us, what they feel they have to hide. And we can make some decisions about what we actually want the answer to that to be. And then the work begins of becoming that which we intend rather than that which we unwittingly, habitually invite by walking the world the way we walk it.
Thank you, Justin. As you were reading, the line that really stuck out to me is, what do I make it okay for you to be by me being me with you? And it's funny, I'm relating to this in this moment from both a kind of personal way, like there's a way that I am that shows you, tells you, and taps into all of your instincts and social attunement that gives you loads and loads of messages, of course, that comes from like an individual place. But also recently, I've been realizing that culturally, like the culture of a family or the culture of a business or the culture of a street, the culture of a neighborhood or whatever, and of course the culture kind of at large, but particularly like walking into people's homes or kind of small-sized communities, it's turning into this like a very, very visceral experience for me in my body of what's okay to be around here and what's not. And in the writing of this, I kind of realized I'm feeling that all the time. Like I've got this spidey sense, which I'm sure all of us have in some way, of this is acceptable here and that's not acceptable here. And even like the time you might want a snack or something, you know, there's like all these like implicit rules everywhere. And I don't think I've shared it with everybody on here, Justin, but I'm 5 months pregnant, which you know, and being a pregnant person who needs to snack all the time and who's also feeling really sensitive to the world because my experience of being pregnant anyway is that it's like my world is just a whole different level of sensitivity. So I can feel different things much more keenly than I would ordinarily be able to, feels to me. And so in some way, I think this is in some way where this is coming from at the moment is this kind of hyper open understanding of what's allowed and what's not allowed. And in some way, being pregnant is one of my most, maybe my most, the deepest experience I have of being on the edge of the world rather than at the center of it somehow. I'm not ordinary at the moment. I'm not run of the mill. I can't walk as fast as I normally would. I need snacks a lot. I need water a lot. I probably can't stand up very easily for a long time on a train. I can't do the things at the same time as everyone else. There are certain needs I have that are unusual for a human, and like going to the loo a lot. So there's a kind of a particular sensitivity to being on the edge of things and noticing all my my responses to having my own needs being heightened. And so in all of that, it's becoming really clear to me and like very magnified how everywhere I go, I can feel the boundaries of what's okay and what's not okay by people's responses to me. And they're never really explicit, they're implicit. So like I got, it was like 11 o'clock at night the other day and I got a snack and I was in somebody else's house. And they kind of went, what's that? As if like nobody snacks at 11 o'clock. I was like, nobody snacks at 11 o'clock here. And of course, ordinarily, I probably wouldn't be snacking at 11 o'clock. I'd probably be asleep. But that was one of those experiences that's such a tiny little event. But for me, it was like, oh my God, I feel really ashamed that I'm having a snack at 11 o'clock. But literally, I'm so hungry. I feel like I can't carry on without a snack. And unless somebody knew what it was like to be pregnant or had listened to a pregnant person or whatever the thing is, of course, they wouldn't know that. So it's a really curious process to be in, to be noticing way more keenly than normal what kind of acceptance there is and what kind of alienation exists in the world. And I think that's really what this is all about, is acceptance and alienation, and whether we get welcomed for all of our peculiarities and marginalized aspects of self and humanness, or we get quite kind of subtly, implicitly rejected for the things that are our reality. And it's tricky because, of course, unless these things are lived and or understood, or you're in relationship with someone who has all this kind of thing going on, how would anyone know unless we sought out people who were different to us to explain to us what the world is like and for them, and how we could be more welcoming? And what would it be like to be that kind of person who seeks out difference and wonders and says, what could I do? What could I do to make you feel more welcome? Or please, can you tell me when there are times when I don't make you feel welcome and I don't mean it, but could we relate to one another that way? And then this whole permissions matter could be out there. We could be working, like I said, like the hard work begins when we, because I think mostly, Justin, and we talk about this a lot, is that there's like profound goodness in us all. We want to be welcoming. We want to accept. We want to say yes to our fellow human travelers in whatever way they are. And so this seems to me to be a conversation about goodness and living into our profound goodness even more fully than we are already, maybe.
It's very illuminating hearing you talk about this increased sensitivity to it, Lizzie, that you're experiencing now. And it had me realize, as I was thinking about being the person who react in whatever way they did to you having a snack at the time that you did, is that it affords the question for each of us that is so strongly implied here in what you've written, which is, what kind of permission do I want to be? Because sometimes I think, I certainly know this in myself, there are times when I find out that I've not been a kind of permission that I really stand for. It's very painful to find out. And I'll say something about that in a moment. And we don't always know, because we don't know until people tell us. You know, did you know, being around in your house, it's a bit tricky for those of us who want a snack. Did you know that? But that's up. But there is another side to it here, which is articulated in what you've written, which I want to say, and then it's not really where I'm going to hang out and what I say. But there is the part of it in which we get to realize that sometimes we've taken up being ones who give permission that we do not want to give. I do not want you to abuse me, yell at me, hit me in the face, steal from me, and make assumptions about me. You know, it seems to me that part of the dignity of this is knowing that there are permissions to give. And some of us have the one way that this goes, and I've certainly inhabited this in many ways, lots of times in my life, of giving permission. I was thinking about the time I was being physically attacked by a kid in a class that I was in when I was little, and I sort of just took it. And the teacher came in afterwards and said, you know what, you're meant to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I was meant to take it. So I want to speak for the side of this that is also the, which is the necessary side of the other side, which is being able to say, no, I'm not standing for permission to this.
Yeah.
Which is one side of it. And the other side of it might then be that we have not been giving permission that we wish we were. So one of the things that's really, it's been so illuminating for me, and you and I have talked about this before. I used to think that the fact that people disagreed with me so rarely must just mean that I was a lovely, warm, open person. And I think there's truth to that too. But it took me quite a long time to find out, and it took a very, very, very painful end of a friendship and working relationship to find out that I was, in wanting to uphold the peacefulness and the harmony and all of that, which seemed like such obvious virtues, that I was unwittingly, or actually more honestly, quite purposefully, but in out of my own view, doing my best to make sure that nobody ever was in conflict with me.
Mm.
One way to do that is to be very easygoing and allow yourself to be bullied by the, you know, by the school bully. But another way of doing it is very subtly signaling in all kinds of ways, no, you can't disagree with me. That's not allowed here. Conflict isn't possible.
Mm.
And I couldn't see it because it served my own habitual, you say this at the end, the what we've been handed to us, or what we've taken up from very early, it's such a seamless way meshed with that. Oh, look, everything's harmonious around me. So that must be wonderful. Until people were willing to say to me, you know, it's really stifling.
Mm.
It's really difficult that this isn't welcome here. And the reason I want to say all of this is I wanted to be able to say, and it's painful and tender when we find that out. Because in my deepest heart, what I want and have always wanted is for people to be able to express themselves and be themselves. Yeah. So to be told that I was actually creating a scenario, so it's painful. And then when we feel the pain, then the work begins. Like, is this what I want?
Yeah.
And learning how to give permission for something that, for good reason. So I think my pattern has a lot of intelligence with it and began for very, very good reasons in my life, to encounter the limits of that, the intelligence that's in it, and then to meet the, wow, that's really out of line with the person I want to be. And then to start to do the work of risking, because frankly, it seemed like the most terrifying thing that I would allow people to disagree with me. And it's really work in progress. You know, I feel places where it's much more possible, and I can feel places where I'm still up to the same thing, and it sort of catches me unawares. So it seems to me that with all of this, there's a faithful and lifelong path to walk.
Mm-hmm.
But you say it can change, Yes, it can. And then we have to begin walking the world the way we want to walk it. And that's can take a lot of courage and a lot of support. And I'm really with you that being one who allows, who extends permission for people to bring themselves fully in their goodness and all the difference is really important. I feel very committed to it. It's joyful and tricky all at the same time.
Mm. Oh gosh, so much. There's so many responses in me. So many times when you talk, Justin. And I think this really is possible thing. I know it because of me having had similar experiences to you, Justin, where you see something and you go, oh my goodness, that is not what I'm intending in the world or what I really want. My heart of hearts does not want that to be the conditionality that I want to be or something. It's just not that. And yet that's what the world is telling me. So there's a human being here telling me, and that the example I'm thinking of, and I think I've spoken about it here before, Justin, is when I was in my early 20s, and I feel terrible shame saying it now, but I remember the words coming out of my mouth, like, if you don't make me laugh, and if it's not funny to be with you, I'm not sure I've got time for this. I remember, can you imagine? Makes me kind of cringe. But I had this really thin way of relating to the world, because underneath that was, if you have loads of feelings, it will make me have lots of feelings, and I don't know how to cope with my feelings. So I need to have this story about life of only letting that much in, because I can't handle the rest of it. And so my permission slips there were like tiny. You know, you could only be my friend if it was fun to be with you. And I remember my whole school life was basically based around that. You know, I didn't have time for melancholic people. I was like, let's create mischief. And there was lots of fun in that, but there was lots that got very much missed off. And of course, when you enter into the world, you have to be a real human being, like I had to do in my early 20s, coming out of school and whatever. I very quickly realized that there was most of the population I was missing out by having this implicit set of very tight permissions that didn't allow anyone to really be reflective or worried or frightened or feel sad or depressed or traumatized. Or, I mean, goodness me, it was very thin. It was very thin. And the realization of that, because of the kind of in the heart of me, I knew who I was somewhere. When that got brought to me, and when I realized that, it was like crushing beyond painful. And then, of course, in having been crushed by my own permissions for myself as well, of course, what I was doing to others, I was doing to myself. Like, I wasn't allowing myself to feel or to know myself in any other way of depth. In the crushing of that, I had to find a new set. And when you've lived for a while without a range of permissions, a wide one, rebuilding that is a big piece of work. Like, as you say, like a lifelong ongoing situation that we're in, that we have to keep. And of course, it's still here now, but I think I've got like almost 20 years under my belt of like, I'm going to look at this, and it seems like a lifelong path, and I need to do this. And of course, the work we do, if that was still my set of permissions, I'd be in all kinds of trouble, and I wouldn't be doing it at all anyway, because it's about being with people in whatever state they're in and welcoming it all. So I feel like it really is possible. And I know that in my actual bodily experience of being a human being. And I also know, as you say, how excruciating and how painful, and also how kind of surreptitious and protective those patterns can be. Like, they have good reason to be there as well. So I have real compassion for the parts of me that didn't want to come forward and that got, I was being protected from as well. So yeah, I'm feeling very compassionate towards that part of us, Justin, that gets it, that's off the mark. And that when we get told it, how how hard it is and how it's not really what we want. And so it really hurts.
There are two parts of this that are occurring to me as you were talking about this. I could hear so strongly in what you said, Lizzie, when you talked about how it's the same structure for me as you talked about in you, that what you were open to in other people was really what very closely to do with what you were open to in yourself. And that our capacity to give permission for life-giving things, which is really what we're talking about here, has got a lot to do with the way that we often unknowingly are trying to get the world to conform to a very particular pattern, which is the one that we can live with. And it might be the intelligence that is, I had to do that when I was, it seemed obvious that that was what I had to do when I was very little for X, Y, and Z reason. But then we go into our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and maybe beyond. We can be trying to get the world to sort of jigsaw with us, like, I'm a this shaped piece and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that I'll only encounter pieces that fit right here. So there's a ton of inner work that's really helpful, like welcoming the protective parts of us that want to hold out conflict or want to hold out grief, and learning to be very kind and gentle with them, which we've talked about many times before. So I don't think it can just happen by an act of will or something. Well, now I'm going to be open to conflict, except every time it comes that my way, all of these parts that are trying to protect me come up, and there's a sort of loving, including act there, which is to see them and hold them and behold them. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it, and I'm saying all of this because it struck me whilst you were talking that none of us should really try to do this alone if we can avoid it, is that it really helps. I think big opening for me was starting to be surrounded with by people who weren't also conflict averse.
Yeah.
People who loved me, like someone like you, who's very often said to me, here's something that's difficult. Or Nina, you talked about Nina before. Like it really helps to have people around us who will bring us with some care, but also with truthfulness to say, here's the thing that's hard. And we trust them enough to be able to hear them. So it seems to me we can help ourselves become more like the kind of set of permissions that you're talking about if we're willing to really be gentle and truthful with ourselves inside and see if we can open up some more inner space. And if we can find allies, people who really trust our goodness and our good intentions and know what we're up to.
Mm-hmm.
who can help us, and when they bring something to us, it's not so terrifying. I don't feel like I'm about to be demolished because you tell me that it's hard for you to bring such and such, and you'd also tell me that what's easy for you to bring. Now, it's not always easy for us to find those people, but it seems to me it's a great way of our supporting ourselves, is to be doing the inside outside part of this at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this feels like a massive conversation, like so many of these things do, Justin, and I'm pretty sure we could keep going for a day or something, just finding out more about all of this in ourselves, and maybe a year or a lifetime. But I feel really, really glad to have this space as the thing you're talking about, Justin. And you and all of the people that we know in our community, and also everyone who's with us and listening and attuned to this. Because if you come here and you listen to us, you might just go, oh dear, this is terrible, and delete from my podcast list or whatever. But if you stay, it's quite a particular staying. It's quite a particular resonance, I think, to be interested in what these conversations are, both for us, it's very particular, and for people listening. And so I feel really hopeful about that, you know, that there are lots of people who are interested in these questions and will take this to heart. And that's the feedback that we get, Justin, the response we get from people is that this goes towards that conversation of the heart that's lesser had in the world than maybe it could be or should be. So I want to say thank you, Justin, and thank you to everybody for being here. And we will be back next week with a source chosen by you for our 301st episode, Justin. That's rather an honour.
I'm going to tell you my secret idea, which I'm sure we're not going to do. Mm-hmm. But because there's so much to say about every topic that we've done, I have this little secret fantasy that 301 will start back at the topic we talked yes. about with number one. For the next 300 imagine? Conversations, we'll just go further in each one. Oh. It's a joy to be in this with you. Thank you, Lizzie.
Yes, likewise. Thanks so much, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.